Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Mahan.
Welcome to Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. I am your host, Ava Muhammad, and it is such a pleasure, it is an honor to be back with you once again. We are really and truly trying to prepare ourselves as all of us recognize the tremendous change that is going on around all of us, and that is because we are actually experiencing the end of one reality and the ushering in of a new reality. It is a great blessing to be able to study the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the direction and guidance of Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is such a blessing to be able to engage in something that we as a subject people under physical slavery followed by Jim Crow, segregation, and even to this very moment, the great injustices that are being leveled against our people, we are able, through Minister Farrakhan's guidance, to be able to engage in the process of resurrection. And that is through a method that includes self-examination, self-correction, and self-analysis. Think about it. For 3 centuries, all of our thoughts and feelings were devoted to the welfare of the slave master. As I have said in the past, during a trip to Charleston, South Carolina a few years ago, my family and I visited a mansion that was once the home of a plantation owner, and in the archives in that mansion in a glass case was a letter that had been written by a young black woman, a young girl, 16 years old, and in that letter to a family member, she stated that for her, the worst thing about slavery was not the physical labor. The worst thing about slavery was the fact that you have to spend all of your waking moments thinking about someone else. So consider that, beloved, and I will do the same as we go through the day. And I know I am experiencing almost like a struggle to take control of my life. That's what it feels like right now. But remember that everything is in a state of turbulence right now, because Allah, God, is not only making himself known, both in spirit and in reality, but he is also executing judgment on the wicked. And Allah creates what he pleases, and he destroys what he pleases. And so our only task in this hour, it's really twofold. Number one is to submit to his will. But secondly, it is so important that, as Minister Farrakhan spoke at Olive Harvey City College last Friday, and he talked to the students about seeing God in one another. There was a discussion about violence, and after everybody on the panel gave their contribution, and we certainly appreciate what they had to offer, but Minister Farrakhan got to the root cause of violence, and that is our inability, and in some cases not an inability, but a refusal, to see God in one another. And he said that whenever you encounter your brother or sister, remember, he or she is superior to you in some facet of life, in some skill, in some way. And you, as well, are superior to him or her in some way. Every one of us has some unique combination of some of Allah's attributes. None of us have all 99, only Allah has that. But all of us have at least one or a unique combination of his attributes so that we each have the capacity, we each have the potential to manifest Allah in that way, meaning that people can look at us and experience us and actually see Allah, see perfection in us executing our divine purpose. There's not one of us who lacks that capability. And so it is a blessing to be able to talk to you. And I'm joined tonight. I am so sorry. I think I talked a little bit too long because we also, of course, you know my wonderful co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. He is traveling. And actually yesterday he was at my alma mater. I am the proud graduate of an HBCU, Central State University, and it is adjacent to Wilberforce University, which is the site of one of the stops prior to going into Canada on the Underground Railroad during slavery. And so Brother Terrence is there. And he was trying to hold on, but he's engaged right now in some conferences and meetings, and perhaps he'll be able to rejoin us for a few moments later on. In the interim, I, of course, am always blessed, and we are, all of us, blessed to have with us a brother who is engaged in an arena which is really a key critical element to our exodus from this world and our entry into the next, into the hereafter. And that is the acquisition and development and reacquaintance with land. You know, we're called the Asiatic black man. Asiatic meaning this planet, Earth. And that's so right. We are literally named the name of this planet. And one of the worst crimes committed against us was to disconnect us from our love of and knowledge of and understanding of this planet, which from which everything we need to live is yielded. And so I'm so happy to have you with us again and taking time to be with us, Dr. Ridzi Muhammad, who is the Nation of Islam Minister of Agriculture and Elevated Places contributor and analyst. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridzi.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. It is. Oh, look, glad that you are here. And, of course, the callers are already coming on, and I want to say to the callers, of course, Elevated Places is not a lecture hall. It is a forum for discussion. And what makes this show so appealing to so many people is they get to hear all kinds of perspectives on all kinds of subjects. And we're going to be talking about justice this evening. Prayerfully, we will be joined in the show by Attorney Malik Shabazz. He was scheduled for last show, but he's a practicing attorney. He's not just a theorist. He actually practices law, represents our people, and one of his clients needed him. And so he was unable to come on last week, but Allah willing, he'll be joining us this evening. But those of you who have obtained this week's copy of the Final Call newspaper know that the headline is America's War Against Black Power. Very powerful writing, and there is an article in it from Minister Farrakhan, and I'm very familiar with the circumstances that he's addressing from that time in 1995. Some of you are old enough and have been around long enough to recall that there was an effort by the FBI, endless, it never stops, to once again create enmity within the Nation of Islam and within the community of black activists and supporters. And in this instance, there was a situation where Kabila Shabazz, one of the daughters of Malcolm X and the late Betty Shabazz, Kabila was accused by the U.S. government of hiring a hitman to assassinate Minister Farrakhan. And it was during the fallout of that case that Minister Farrakhan and the black community, of course, the minister's reaction was not and never is what the enemy calculates it to be. They were hoping that this would cause a rift between the two. Now, remember, they had just the year prior tried using Mrs. Betty Shabazz against the Nation, and I was the lead counsel on a lawsuit that the Nation filed against the New York Post for printing defamatory headlines accusing Minister Farrakhan of murdering Malcolm and misquoting Dr. Shabazz. And trying to use her. That fell apart. That didn't work. Rather than attack her like they wanted us to, we went after them. You teach often, Dr. Ridgely, you got to go after the shepherd, okay?
That's right.
You know,
evil shepherd.
And so, yes, sir. And here they are trying it again. Now, remember, the Million Man March was October 16th, 1995. So, They tried another angle, and this time it was the child. And so Minister Farrakhan, instead of falling into that trap, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had told him, he was going to avoid all the traps that he did. The minister turned that thing right back on the government and said, no, you are setting up Malcolm's daughter, Kabila, and you're doing it by paying this man, Michael Fitzpatrick, a white man, a Jewish informant, paid $45,000 plus expenses to record conversations that he had with Kabila. And so the minister held a press conference at Mas Mariam, and many black leaders came out, the community came out, and Minister Farrakhan called for a letter-writing campaign to support Kabila, and ultimately the charges against her were dropped. And on May the 6th, 1995, at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, New York, history was made. And at that time, the world witnessed Minister Farrakhan and Dr. Betty Shabazz together on the same stage. And during his speech, the minister addressed the United States government's role in setting up the circumstances for disunity, distrust, and betrayal through the infiltration of black organizations, which they have done almost from the time the FBI came into existence. One of their techniques is paid informants. And so hopefully all of us will avail ourselves, Dr. Ridgely, of this article, which is in fact excerpts from that historic message from Minister Farrakhan. Just incredible. And
well,
you talked about Hoover. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that the way he handled that Kabila incident, if Jesus was here, I couldn't see him doing it any better. In
wow.
that,
yes, sir.
Here's someone who's accused of paying someone to assassinate you, and instead of turning against that person, you go in that person's defense? I mean, that is incalculable. That's not human. Humans don't do things like that.
Right.
Okay? Humans don't do things like that. That's why I call Mr. Farrakhan the next human. We study him to see what we should be like in the future, because he handles things completely different, goes completely from love and spirituality, and therefore the enemy cannot calculate, because the enemy calculates upon his own behavior, his own thoughts, his own desires, and it's not the same as Mr. Farrakhan, so you keep missing. Allah just guides Mr. Farrakhan around all their tricks.
Beautifully said. And callers, we're going to start going to the phones early so that we can get as many of you as we can. And, of course, I forgot to give the phone number, 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. And we're talking about justice, injustice, and, of course, as Dr. Ridgely just said, this next human being, the next level, the man that is demonstrating through the way he lives and the way he loves that which we should strive for. And think about it. You're right. It's not human nature to defend a person who ostensibly or appears to have attacked you or wanted to attack you. And we have been under the manipulation of white people for so long that they have us where we have an instant reaction to them, and that really is the residual effect of this idea of the white Jesus, and everybody's white, God is white, Jesus is white, Santa Claus, everybody. And so when they say something, we instantly buy into it. But when a black man or woman comes to us, we vet very thoroughly everything they say or do. So we're going to start going to the phones. We've got Brother Keith on the line, and he has a comment. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Keith.
Well, like a salam, black family. My comment is justice. Now, the root, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us we got to justify our existence in the world. The white man, he has robbed us the ability of self-determination, or what they call Kuji Takali, is self-determination. We have been robbed even the idea of even doing something even different. The white man, he has cloned the original black man. He has grafted the original black man and made him a new creature, the American nigger. So our ability
Absolutely.
To do stuff is almost godlike. The white man, he puts himself as the standard. And if a white man don't agree with it, if he don't let it, you know, it's good as nothing. So anytime a black man comes up on the scene and says he got this from, you know, from God, or he got something that can help us, but if it don't include white folks, we ain't interested.
We certainly aren't. That's right.
It is really insane that if a white man doesn't agree with it, and if we do get a white man, you've got to make sure who they're coming from. We can't get any white person. We want a high-up echelon white person. So if that white person don't vote, we want a better white person. But that's all I got to say. But, you know, we got to justify.
Well, you're right on it.
Knowledge itself is powerful. You know, and then one last comment. I know a lot of us, we connect. You, in the beginning of the program, you said the Asianic, you know, everlasting. We're named after the planet. And I heard Minister Farrakhan, he said, no one continent can define the human being, the black man. The black
That's
man
right.
does not identify with Africa. Africa is the throne. The earth is our home. So I leave
That's
you.
Right.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, beloved. And that's exactly right. The entire planet Earth belongs to the black man. It really, in truth, before the Caucasian came on the planet as a result of one of our scientists, we did not have walls and geographic boundaries
That's right.
People could not come across without a fight or a war or permission. All of that concept came out of the mind of the limited mankind. So he's the white man has a finite mind, Dr. Ridgely, and he is constantly engaging in self-protection because he knows he's not native, he's not natural to this planet. And so when he lays claim to some part of it, he has to put up barriers and create weapons or manufacture weapons.
Well, he'll put up a barrier where he doesn't control. In other words, he'll draw a line on a map and tell these people on this side of the line that you're different from them people on the other side of the line. In other words, he develops these nations on his maps and then has the people respond to that. All this is the process of divide and conquer. Once everybody sees him as the Asiatic black man, you see yourself as the united mass, the human being. But once you begin to be identified based on tribes or nationalities, then that's his way of dividing you up, and then you begin to take sides with and against one another, and he's able to, like we were taught in our lessons, come amongst us, spreading gossip and lies, calling us to fight and kill one another. So his setting up of these nationalities is just a part of his divide and conquer scheme.
Well said, well said. Okay, we're going to go to, we have Brother Vincent calling in, and he has a comment.
As-salamu
alaykum, Brother Vincent.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Blum, Sister Abe and everybody. I have a question for you as it relates to health life insurance. And since we're talking about justice, I was just recently made aware about a whole life, the difference between whole life and term life policy. Are you familiar with that, Sister Amy? Anybody?
Only in the most superficial way.
Okay. What I tend to understand is that, say for instance, okay, whole life, if you pay $284 per month for 1 year, each month for a year, it came out to $3,400. Okay, now if you took out a policy on yourself, $5,000 for yourself and your wife, $3,000 policy for your children, and you paid that policy for 25 years, which would be $84,200 at the end of the 25 years, but the cash face value of the policy would be $3,700.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I'm saying that because, and I'm bringing this up because on several occasions, there has been believers in our community in New Orleans that have had death in their families and who had life insurance, but had to go and petition to people for, you know, support to be able to get their family. But I found out that term life is a more appropriate way to go for our people. Because the term life, for instance, I just personally, myself and my wife, I took out $100,000 policy on myself, $85,000 policy on my wife, and $10,000 policies on each of my children. I have four children at a cost of about $84 a month. Now, I had my wife I think she tagged you or shared some information about this policy that I'm talking about. Now,
okay.
I saw where in this book, the brother that sold me the policy, he showed me where this white man took out $500,000 policy on himself, $200,000 policy on his wife, and $10,000 policy, term life policies on his children. He pays $74 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Well, brother Vincent, let me stop you there because I don't. We've got a lot of callers, but I'm gonna say
yes,
this. You're right in the sense that, and when we talk about justice, because it is relevant, it is yet one of myriad ways we've been kept in poverty while white people get rich. One of the ways that white people increase their wealth is through life insurance. That is one of the ways they do it. White people purchase $500,000, $1 million, $5 million life insurance policies. And this thing called term life is more cost effective, it's cheaper. It comes to an end after a certain number of years. It expires, and so you have to repurchase if you outlive the policy. But even with that, it's better. When they say whole life insurance, WHOLE, meaning insurance for your whole life, that type of insurance is designed to self-destruct. In other words, the longer you have it, the less it's worth. When black people came out of slavery and we started being sold insurance, and those of us really up there like Dr. Ridgey and myself, we remember the days the insurance man comes by every week and gets the payment. Black people actually call it burial insurance. We don't call it life insurance. We call it burial insurance. Why? Because we were kept limited to purchasing only enough insurance to pay the funeral expenses for our loved ones. And so we're not acclimated to, but for many years they wouldn't sell it if we wanted it. We're acclimated to, though, the idea of, when we hear the word life insurance, that's what we think about, final expenses. And so yet again, like with everything else, we have to reevaluate and look at our lives and pay attention to what's going on. This is why we brought the Affordable Health Care Act in front of the believers last week, because if you listen to the enemy and how they defined the Affordable Health Care Act and talked about it, it gave you a complete wrong impression of what this is. We have to come out of spookism. You know, we are not out of Satan's world yet. We live in it. And as I heard Brother Jibril Muhammad teach in the past, if we're going to get into the hereafter, it's going to require mastery of hell. We got to overcome hell and get ourselves up out of it. See, nothing's going to just rain down upon us. So what we should be doing in this time is learning and teaching ourselves to maneuver effectively through this paradigm that white people have manufactured. And you don't see Minister Farrakhan living a spooky life, okay? And there are resources that we should be trying to avail ourselves of. And so we should take a intelligent approach to things like health insurance, life insurance. Like you're saying, look at what you're doing. Calculate, as you have done, you know, how much you're spending on a product or a service. And ask yourself, would I be better off just saving this money for myself? Look at your condition and just think logically. We have a 7-ounce brain. They have a 6-ounce brain. But they're doing more with their 6 ounces, and when you're talking about brain matter, an ounce is huge. That's a huge difference. So our capacity is almost immeasurably greater, but we got to stop walking around like Tweety Bird. And even though we're getting the truth through Minister Farrakhan, and when I say we, I mean all black people, not just registered in the nation. But we are getting truth and we are getting direction. And so I appreciate the call very much, Brother Vincent. And Dr. Ridgey, that applies to real estate. That applies to the idea that we should buy all of our food from them, you know, give no consideration to growing. And, you know, we're so disconnected from doing for ourselves.
You know, Ms. Ada, I want to deal with that word spooky.
Yes, sir.
Because I had an epiphany for myself, an understanding why it is difficult for people to believe in the God within them and to believe that Allah God appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, because we have a spooky concept of God. In other words, the enemy has given us a concept of a mystery God that does things completely out of line with math and science. There's this movie Noah that we both went to see.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know, you told me about it. I went and looked at it.
Right.
Took my money anyway. But it was spooky. I mean, everything happened so fast.
God, absolutely.
A drop of rain hits the ground and grows a flower. Okay?
Right.
So the earth was actually made in 7 days, and all the animals were made in 1 day, a 24-hour day.
24-hour day, right.
24-hour day. Come on now. So, in other words, if we say Allah God came and appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, we want to hear some magic tricks. If he can't do no magic tricks, if he can't break no law of nature, then he ain't no God, because God breaks the laws of nature. So we don't see ourselves as gods, because we don't have no power over the white man, and we don't have no power over making I gave a presentation the other day. I told him, I can make this brother, I can levitate this brother. This brother in this chair right here, I can make him rise. I said, somebody go outside and get my jack. You know, I put that jack underneath his chair, he coming up. Okay? So my mind made him come up, but there was a process. And everything, there's a process. But we don't know the process nor the time of how long the process would occur, how God acts over time. So we look at the spookism they put on TV that in the movies that ain't real, never happened. And we look at God in that spooky type of way instead of us taking control of our lives and the power that we have. Mm-hmm. And collectively we can transform the planet Earth and the universe over time. But not
exactly. Yes. Not when we talk about the twinkling of an eye in reality, and it's clear in the scripture that to Allah, 1,000 years is as a day is to us, and that really helps to give us. I mean, that doesn't just say that without a reason. It's to help us try to comprehend what you just got through talking about, a process. And so we might say, oh, yeah, nation been around all this time, and ain't nothing happened yet. You know,
<Come on. laughs>
see, but when you say all this time, as opposed to the perception of the mind of the creator of the heavens and the earth, then the time we're talking about, it wouldn't even show up in a mathematical configuration. It's so small.
That's right.
On the black man's calendar, on the original calendar of 25,000-year cycles, you know, versus the white man dealing with this linear calendar and measuring every 24 hours and this week and that week, and what the stock market is today and what it is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the mind of somebody that has a very short time to be on this planet.
Right.
You know,
and
but
he keeps our mind,
we've got to adjust. Mm-hmm.
Right. He keeps our mind dealing with magic while he systematically plans and carries forth his plans and then we're moving around like dust because we're looking at magic. Instead
That's
of
right.
us planning and moving out on our plans, waiting for the process to finish before we just quit and say, this ain't going nowhere. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of doing this. I'm doing something else. Then you never finish anything.
Yeah, our favorite line, I'm tired of this. It's taking too long. Unbelievable. But we're going to go back to the phones, and we have Brother Khalifa, and we're going to open up his mic.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. How are you, sir?
I'm just fine, sister. How are you doing this evening?
Wonderful, wonderful. Having a great time. Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah and Dr. Wrigley. I'm feeling so good, and as usual, the show always has dynamite subject matter, and today we're talking about justice. I just woke up from a little nap where I had a bowl of my wife's hypnotic bean soup, and I tuned in, and
I
want to let you know that I feel so good that in 1930, in July, a master came and found the suffering and raised up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and help me, sister, since you're a lawyer. I got two sisters who are lawyers, and began to teach him, I think the word is proceed, how to do this yourself. So we want
yes, sir. Proceed or pro se, either way. Mm-hmm.
Pro se, to run
yes,
and
sir.
Join on to the Nation of Islam, because you'll be a member of this class action suit. Come to the offices of the Nation of Islam, where we give you freedom, justice, and equality by the chief counsel, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Come on and hurry and join on to your own, because we're all going to get paid freedom, justice, and equality, luxury, money, and all your friendships and all walks of life. Thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Brother Khalifa. Excellent, excellent commentary. And you know, to be reminded of, and I think you started that, Dr. Rizzi, with your point, of we're dealing in reality. That's the very first thing we're going to have to do to be successful is come out of spookism, you know, stop waiting, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, for a mystery God. He ain't there, okay? So we've got Brother Eric, and he's got a comment. Let me get his mic open. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Eric. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Hey, God bless you all today.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'm a little frustrated today. We lost one of our black-owned grocery stores, I think, today in New Orleans. And one person was saying that blacks should stop focusing, you know, on developing our businesses and start developing our minds through reading about our culture, our heritage, and our traditions, I guess so that we can develop a sense of pride and self-knowledge and therefore be motivated to support our own black businesses, because the average black person left to their own devices, they aren't even thinking about or even motivated to support a black business. Do you all agree with that theory or not?
Well, I know I do, and certainly Dr. Rizzi, I know he's going to comment on us not supporting a grocery business. But, you know, again, accept your own and be yourself. See, if we were ourselves, this isn't something to even think about. You know,
right.
Sparrows don't give a second thought to being with other sparrows. Okay. See, we're the only species on the earth where it is a struggle to get us to do what every other living thing naturally does.
That's right.
You know, and that is join on to and be part of its own kind. It's the most natural thing in the world. The minister talks about it all the time, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, I don't care if you're talking about the Jews, the Koreans, even other black people outside of the North American continent, outside the United States, aren't as deeply afflicted as we are here in the United States of America. This is why Master Farrar had to come himself. That's how bad it is. And even now, it is an uphill climb, even after we see the light and accept the light, to overcome the effects of the made man on our mentality to make us other than ourselves. And it's unfortunate because in many ways, we almost make the situation worse by trying so hard. You know, Islam is a natural religion. It's our nature. And once we accept who we are and what we are, all these other things are going to automatically happen. But we haven't got past accept your own and be yourself. But Dr. Ridgely, right. I know you have a comment.
Well, you know, yes, on a couple levels. Number one, it's hard for any small grocery store to compete with Walmart. So if a Walmart
Absolutely.
Comes in there where you can buy everything, including some tires and get your fingernails done, along with a deli, you know, a basic restaurant inside. So small grocery stores who are depending on a neighborhood have a problem, unless that neighborhood is devoted to that store. Now, but when you have transient neighborhoods, you don't have neighborhoods anymore. You just have places where people live, and they move around.
Okay.
So you don't have neighborhoods. So there's not, you don't have a neighborhood store because you don't have a neighborhood. I know one of the problems we had with the Exodus program that I had was I couldn't keep up with my customers. I mean, they've been moved. I mean, young people move around. I'm talking about from place to place. So it's hard for a neighborhood grocery store to survive because there's no neighborhood. And it, like any other small grocery store, is competing against some monsters out there. I mean, Walmart come in, knock out a Kroger in a minute. So there's a lot of reasons. And then a lot of white stores go out of business. But if there's a white store that can start the business, it's so hard for us to get going. Once we lose one, it is very, very difficult because it's so hard to get anything going because nobody will support us. I mean, it's not just we don't support it, but nobody else will support us, whereas we and everybody else will support anybody else. Anybody else sets up a store, it's a store. We set up a store, it's a black grocery store. You see what I'm saying? Because everybody is against us. I know stories about in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, this man had a soda pop industry back in the 40s. And he was doing good, and then they found out there was a black soda pop owner. So then everybody stopped drinking his soda pop. It was a good soda pop, but it was when they found out it was a black soda pop, nobody wanted no more. So, again, there's a lot of layers, and until we make the decision to understand our handicap and understand we're not going to be able to operate in this race handicapped, then we're going to pull out the race and set up our own criteria for success, our own standards for what we like, our own culture. Culture determines value. Okay? Why should we pay $200 for some Jordan shoes? Somebody else has determined that is valuable. We have to determine what is valuable for ourselves. Accept your own and be yourself. And that is the most important step that we have to take instead of trying to look like everybody else, go to the mall so everybody can see the tags. I mean, it's so bad we walk around with clothes with tags on just so people can see the tags. Come on now. It ain't about the clothes. It's about what people see as a brand. So there's a lot of issues, but help support Muhammad's economic blueprint. And let's just turn to self. Let's build up our own, and everything else will fall in place.
So do black businesses have to develop their own neighborhoods and communities first?
Well, I think like this.
Raising the consciousness, therefore they're
more
motivated.
Well, it's like this. If you got the money that you can advertise the way your competition advertises, either that or you're going to have to do word of mouth or insular neighborhood. When the white person sets up a business, they have, number one, they have 2 years where they don't need any money coming from that business. They don't set up a business unless
Start
you can survive
that.
2 years
right.
without any money coming out of it. How many black folks can do that? Then you got to have a budget for advertising and promotion. How much money do we have for advertising and promotion to compete with these other entities? So I'm saying is, no, you can go and try and, you know, as much as you can. I'm not saying that you got to have, you can try, but evidence has shown that we have supported, it's just like here at this farm, get down to this level. 40, 50 years ago, a tractor cost $10,000, okay? The tractor's $137,000 now. So you just can't get in on the ground level with a little bit of investment. You got to have a lot of money just to get into farming because the whole parameters of the model has changed. And while we are just, you know, wasting time, spending time looking at somebody else's world, somebody else's life, trying to be like them, instead of us buckling down developing a plan, and we as a group of people work our plan.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Eric, this is why we're trying to acquire residential areas as well as farmland. You know, we're the nation is purchasing, you know, blocks of homes in like in the Detroit area we're really focused on, but not just Detroit. And we're encouraging brothers and sisters in what, because almost every large city has a black area that's basically desolate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you really do have to create, even if it's three or four blocks of homes, where black people consciously and deliberately choose to go and live in those houses. See, that's where it starts. Rather than we live somewhere because white people put us there, or they abandon it, and then they direct us, a lot of times through black real estate agents, they direct us into areas. It goes back to what Dr. Ridges said earlier about maps. They'll put boundaries around areas they don't even control and direct the people in those areas how to look at each other. And so, you know, the only difference between a beat-down so-called ghetto and some upscale, affluent white area is a mindset. It reflects how the people that live there see themselves.
Right.
It's got to start with a change of attitude. And once we accept who we are, then we can accept the, I can't accept you if I reject me, because you are me.
Right.
You see, that's where it all lies. And once I accept myself and have value in myself, I'm going to automatically support you. Why would I go leave where I live to the enemy and buy my food? Nobody does that. We're the only people that leave where we live and go get our food from the enemy. We send our children to be educated by the enemy. We want, as Brother just said, we'll pay hundreds and thousands of dollars to wear the slave master's name on our clothes.
Right.
You know, oh, that's Prada. That's Michael Kors or whatever. I mean, are you serious?
Right.
You know, now if you're going to buy a product and spend money on it, it should be because of its quality, its function, et cetera.
Right,
but to just
right.
give somebody $200 or $300 for a pair of shoes that some poor young girl made in some island somewhere for $1 a day, and because they slap a swoosh on it, or say a Derrick Rose or D-Wade or somebody wears them, are you serious?
Right.
It really ought to be against the law to sell to our children, because I'm going to tell you what I resent. I resent as much as you selling my child cigarettes. How dare you market to my children $300 shoes when they're in high school? They don't have a job. They don't have that kind of income. And you are pummeling them day and night with this at an age in their life when they're under peer pressure, when they need acceptance. And you are coming at them 24/7, telling them if they don't have this latest shoe that came out, they're nothing.
Right.
That's actually criminal. It's wicked and it's criminal. And the only way we're going to bust that up is to create our own communities.
That's right.
You said it. As long as we live with white people, we will live under them.
Definitely. Either you're going to be dead or you're going to be under them. One of the two.
One way or the other. But thank you, Brother Eric. That's a great, and I thank you for informing us. And again, with justice, this is never going to stop happening.
That's right.
Our stores are going to close. Our schools are going to close.
Sons
and daughters get gunned
down. You know, New Orleans has been depopulated.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly
it's been
right.
depopulated since
sure
Katrina.
Has.
It's dropped,
that's
I think,
right.
at least 40% of the people.
That's
no
right.
longer there. So, I mean, of course, a lot
so
of
how
businesses
can we support
out of
a business? And we're either dead or displaced.
Right.
That's an excellent point. So we've got Brother Hoyle is holding, and let's get his line open. Walaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely, and the world-famous cast here. Praise be to Allah. Yes, Sister Ava, I want to congratulate you on an excellent analysis of that introduction of Study Guide 18 Tuesday, and you did an excellent
job of that.
And I want to, the brother talked about, I used to sell insurance back in the day. It's better probably to get a term life instead of whole life. I'm just going to go right quick with that, because when you die, the money you put in the whole life, they tell you you have a savings. That goes, you know, that goes away. You do better putting that in an annuity or a savings plan, because with term life, you know, you get the money right during the you know, the passing. That you have to borrow the money, and they tell you you have a savings, but as soon as you die, you don't see any of that money that you put up. And they tell you to put that money in that savings. That goes right back to the insurance company. So you do better with that. Putting it in an annuity or a savings plan or Fannie Mae, you know, or something like that.
Yes, sir.
And I heard the brother earlier. Sister, you know, Donna Blige Muhammad said that it's better to teach separation better than prayer. And this new paper is so powerful. It talks about America's war against black power. And I'm just going to read a couple of little small excerpts from this paper. Listen, audience, please get this new final call. It's called America's War Against Black Power. And that's why it's so important, Mr. Farrakhan talked about FYMGT, go out here and warn our people. But this is deep. It says, black leaders have become beguiled by materialism, the former slave master system, and they've taken the eyes off the future. And one more thing here, sister. It says, unfortunately, the often apathetic response to U.S. political prisoners, the notion that they must have done something wrong if they're behind bars, is symptomatic of the pathology of living under white supremacy engages. This is by Ms. Nwanga. And then he said, what she said was, what's worse, she continued, is most blacks aren't even aware of COINTELPRO or the existence of political prisoners. Many are blinded by harsh daily economic and social political struggle to survive. Others embrace willful ignorance. So, like you said, sister, we're bombarded by, you know, sport and play, housewives, no jobs, you know, just foolishness and, you know, just trying to keep us distracted. And I guess, like the minister said, it's going to take a whipping to really get us to see, but that's why it's so important for this show and FOI and MGT. I don't want to get on the soapbox, but, you know, it's just sad that when you talk to our people that, you know, unless it's right there within their, some are seeing, but, you know, it's just, it's like a numbness. I've never seen it. It's like a numbness within our community. Can you piggyback on that, Sister Ava?
Well, you know, We're in the execution phase of this. We have attracted pretty much all that we're going to attract through the word.
Yes,
we all know
we're not
some cult. We don't speak of the minister the way we do because we're a cult, but because it's real. And
yes, ma'am.
We know that if after hearing him for more than half a century, somebody doesn't get it, then they're not going to get it through the message.
That's right.
Now we've got to build and demonstrate. And we really, as my husband talks about all the time, we got to get in the ark.
Right,
you know,
right.
As Dr. Ridges said, Noah, the film that they have out now from Hollywood is whack, you know. But we also know that... that on the real, from the Quranic perspective and in the time that we live in, we're really in the time of the ark. And that ark is the
right.
Of Islam, you know. And
right.
But the point of the matter is, it's us, those of us that claim we have the truth and know the truth. We got to start moving into obedience, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Obey the word instructed to get up and do something for ourselves.
Yes, ma'am.
The messenger didn't ask us if we would like to.
Yes, ma'am.
He told us, get up. And the minister is telling us now, as he has been an example of, he doesn't rely on the white man to put food on his table.
That's right.
Food on his table comes from the love of black people for the word he delivers. So what he's doing in his sphere, we're capable of each doing in our own sphere, like the planets. Every planet has its own atmosphere.
That's right.
It rotates on its own axis.
Mm-hmm.
And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, no body that is natural to one planet can survive on another one. So you don't have all that invasion and intrusion going on in the solar system. Only the white man invades and intrudes and goes out of his space into other people's space.
And black
people have not witnessed being or experienced being able to think and do for ourselves in centuries.
Yes, ma'am.
And we have to show them, not preach to them. We can't preach better than Minister Farrakhan.
That's right.
All we can do is direct them to him. But if we don't have some kind of life, then who cares what we say?
That's right.
See, what do I look like referring you to my dentist and I don't have any teeth?
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
You see what I'm saying? We have to start, we owe it to him to be a better reflection.
That's right. Go ahead. That's right.
What happens to somebody when they follow this teaching? Because
we're
out here looking crazy and raggedy and, you know, looking like we're mentally unstable.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Then how dare we suggest to people that they go listen to the minister? We're doing him a disservice.
That's right. Well
as ourselves. So that's the time we are in right now. We have to pull ourselves together and get ourselves together. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
So that we properly manifest what this teaching idealizes, you see.
Beautiful.
Yes, sir.
Yes, and I want to deal with that numbness. Well, you know, that numbness comes from isolation. You know, the only information we get is from, we have very little information between each other. So there are people, once they come into the nation, they've become successful, a lot of them in business, but you never know about them because there's no place for them to give their story. I mean, you know, all they want to know is how many papers you're selling. You know, so there's no way of getting that information out so people can get recognition for the achievements that they have made. You know what I mean? People are achieving a lot in the nation, you just don't know about it. Now, we found out from elevated places, the callers calling in, a lot of different type of business people calling in, these are Muslims.
Right.
But
that's right.
If it wasn't the elevated places, we wouldn't know about them, nor would we know about the level of intellect, the level of thought, because, you know, we go to a place, somebody preached to us, you know, they preach to us, and we don't get to talk to one another. So we have to have more forums about which we can talk to one another and exchange business cards, not just a card, but let's just find out what you're doing, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that may relate to what I'm doing. And we may need to work something together and further each of our goals and businesses once we know in our local Mars and study groups who is doing what.
Yes, that's right.
So that we can hook up, because there may be somebody in there who's getting ready to turn right down the road that I'm going down, and we can go down it together. But if you don't know one another in terms of really know one another, except you only be yourself, but who is this person next to me?
That's right.
What is his skill?
What
can he do? Let him know what I can do. That's why we got a brother right out here now building a wall for us. You know, he's a bricklayer. Well, he's a Muslim brother. He's a bricklayer. Well, he's laying a wall for the farm, you know. But if I didn't know, I'd go get a white person to do it because I didn't know it was a Muslim could do it. But I know So now we can utilize one another, but we don't know each other.
Right. And that's something we have to make happen. It goes back to spookism. It's not going to just come down upon us.
That's right.
That's right. Part of getting up and doing, when he says get up and do something for yourself, look around and find out, well, who's around me?
Right.
That is my own kind.
Right.
That can do this. Because every living thing looks to itself first. Self
That's right.
first, comma, then others. That's applicable on every level, from the individual to the community. You're never going
right.
to see somebody survive in a Jewish family and come in and have bought something or got a service and they didn't go to another Jew to get it.
Come on.
You know, you're gonna have trouble in your house if you went outside your own kind. And that's how that dollar, see, we you know, the articles we read on how the dollar doesn't circulate in the black community, but that's an effect. That's an effect of a mindset. What we were
that's
talking
right.
about earlier, you know, we eke out, even with the joblessness, we still manage to generate $1 trillion a year.
Oh,
we're still the ninth wealthiest nation on the earth. So, yeah, crazy we look being poor.
Come on.
You know, but like my husband talks about all the time, why are Chinese people, people from India, Arabs, why are they so comfortable coming in the ghetto? Have you noticed that?
Mm.
Them nail salons and all that. They'll be in the white area and they'll be in the so-called most dangerous part
yep.
of the ghetto. Beauty supply shop.
Yep.
Okay, convenience store, gas station, Dunkin' Donuts, etc. They will be there.
Yep.
And they have no problem. They drive up there in a SUV, Lexus. And we're standing around totally broke.
Totally.
They get out the car. They never feel like somebody's going to do something to them because we wouldn't dare put our hands on them. And they feel comfortable. They go and open up the shop, the little nasty shop.
Yep.
They don't clean
what
up.
Do?
Walgreens, which is a chain store, looks totally different in the hood than it does in the affluent white neighborhood. Totally different experience. But they're comfortable coming among us,
well,
taking our money, and then going to some place unknown to spend it. That we can't even refuse to patronize. We can't even engage in negative reinforcement. We can't even do that. But I'm sorry, I'm on a soapbox.
Wash it down with that soap.
But it's frustrating. Nobody else does that.
Well,
all
know,
kind of brothers standing around. No man allows that. You don't go in these men's community and just talk to their girls, talk to their women, sell
right.
products, and rude and nasty, disrespectful.
Well, you know, we have accepted our class position, you know, as the Dalits in India. You know, we've accepted that. They're the ones who are supposed to do that. I know when I had a business in Greensboro, North Carolina, the brother, he was standing in front of my store, hanging around. I said, why are you just hanging around, man? You coming in, you go buy something? He said, well, you know, you ain't got no business no way.
Oh.
So it's a mindset that if I'm in business, I'm doing the white man's thing, and only the white man's supposed to do business. Render to Caesar what is Caesar. And under
yeah.
the rules, nothing.
That's the mentality.
That's the
we
mentality.
We have to start with that. If we just start with working on that, we can move forward. But Sister Joelle has been waiting for a long time, calling out of Washington, D.C. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back, Sister Joelle.
Oh, praises due to Allah, my beloved sister. This, yes, ma'am. I've been listening, just trying to learn from you and Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann, and it's just a blessing. And Brother Terrence, I hope that he's all right wherever he is. But
we miss him at this time.
You know, he's always commenting about things, so we definitely hope that he will return soon. But I just wanted to just seriously say, Sister Ava, about what you said on last Tuesday in terms of us taking and getting information about the Affordable Care program that President Obama has put forth. And you were so right in saying about when it was up in Massachusetts with, I guess, Romney at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And everyone was getting it, and I'm quite sure the affluent neighborhoods, it was all right. But the minute President Obama brought it forth to help us who would just get preventive medicine, you know, the care.
Exactly.
I mean, all of these people decided to say, oh, it's too expensive, it's this, it's that. And this is why our people are going to have to wake up. And the point that I'm trying to make is what you said was when you said, when you go to get these programs that we should have anyway, we should say they are owed to us because our ancestors put in 400 years plus of getting nothing. So for our children and children's children to be able to get, we should go in with that mentality, and that's very, very important. So I just wanted to say, you know, may Allah continue to bless us, and we're going to be listening and working with the 3-year economic program as well as the economic blueprint to help our beloved minister try to help our people to come forth. But as you said, this is the point where it's just chastisement now. So we just, may Allah continue to bless us. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Jill, and I appreciate those,
well, you know,
those comments. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, in Canada and France and almost, you know, all the big white countries,
come on,
they have health care for everybody.
It's right. It's just automatic.
It's automatic.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, because we're in America and some blackies might get some of it, it's a big deal. But over in France, England, Canada, I mean, all the big white countries, Sweden, they take care of their people. But they're all white, so it's okay. But over here, they're worried about this 20% or 10% black and brown getting some help, and now they're ready to shoot their own selves in the foot than to see us get anything.
That's right. The bottom line, that these other – is that – did I hear Brother Terrence?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
it is.
Go.
It is.
Oh, you know,
it is,
your
definitely
fan club has been calling for you, brother.
Well, you know, praise be to Allah, and it's, you know, you know, it's a lot that I can say at this moment because I'm on the road. I'm in the Detroit. But yesterday I was at your alma mater, Central State University, and across the street, Wilberforce University, and we're still on this tour with the Hip Hop Caucus, Act on Climate. And one of your good friends out of Atlanta, our good brother, Reverend Gerald Durley, who's on a tour with him. But
love
we also
him.
With our brother
yes.
who performed at Save His Day, Raheem Divine, and a good brother out of New Orleans called D1.
Yes.
And so I'm saying all this because we're going to these black colleges to get young people involved in this whole climate change movement and not dealing with polar bears and ice caps. But because that our communities are being rampaged with pollution, toxins, high cases of asthma, cancer. So Dr. Ridgely, and I said it before, he's taught us a long time ago, you know, people are looking for the guns to come in, and they will be coming, but they have been killing us day in and day out with Planned Parenthood, killing the our babies, and with the abortion clinic. They've been killing us with the foods and Monsanto's, and they've been killing us with tainted water, power plants, smokestacks. So one of our sisters, Amanda Seals, who's on VH1, she's been going around the community, and we was blessed to get a tour of Detroit and see all of the toxins and pollutions that's in this community. So when Dr. Ridgely is talking about, you know, they make sure that they have good health care, not only do they make sure they have good health care, they make sure they got good health so that you don't even need the health care. They even make sure that your environment is beautiful, your grass is green, the air is clean. They don't have anything that will contaminate your atmosphere. So as we're going across the country doing this tour, and that's what we literally just finished up, it's amazing how many people do not know what they're suffering under and what they're dealing with. So when we even talking about health insurance, we're really talking about sick insurance, because
Absolutely.
It's about when you get sick, we got some pills to help you stay sick versus the preventative measure in a book, How to Eat to Live, in our medicine kitchen, being in our kitchen. And I say all these things because we're talking about justice, and we're dealing right now with environmental justice, and we're dealing with the justice that God is going to bring down on the world if we don't be good stewards of the earth. And that's why, as the last couple of years and last year, your theme was separation, because until we do that, we are going to be polluted with a civilization, a culture, and we have to get rid of it. But thank goodness, as we talk about it, you're going to talk more about it in the coming week. Jay-Z is just a simple lyric that he did, and the minister talked about one lyric or one rap song, you know, is more or equated to, I don't know how many, I want to misquote the minister, I don't know how many lectures of his lectures. And the fact that Jay-Z has said something about Yaku, as Brother Ishmael mentioned on Sunday, and, you know, Jay Electronica's out, we're trying to get that culture back. And once again, I just have to say big ups to Raheem Devine, because he mentioned Minister Farrakhan last night at Central State, and it just, you know, it blew my mind. He said, Minister Farrakhan told me direct, and he told the students that, and that the name Minister Farrakhan was lifted up in a small little town in Wilberforce, Ohio. I respect that, brother, because they love Raheem Devine, but Raheem Devine loved Minister Farrakhan. So we're spreading this message, and we're going to clean up our neighborhoods. And the minister was right about coming back in Detroit, because a sister screamed out last night talking about Black Bottom. And I was like, what does she know? She mentioned Black Bottom Detroit in Wilberforce, Ohio. So the people and the young people are ready. We have to stand up and show them the way. And I'm seeing more of this. And our people are really, really hurting. Our real people are dying. So and I got so much passion, I didn't even take this long. But we're seeing some things. I'm sitting here with the student captain, Brother Roy, who's helping out with security and transportation. And he's going on these tours. And he's seeing the devastation in our communities right under our nose. And they do not care about us. And they are killing us in the air, food, and water. So they are really trying to take us out, and we have to fight back. That's why Elevated Places is so, so important. And I have to remind everybody, tweet at Dr. Ava, listen to her on WVON on Sundays, because this is not a game. This is real. People are dying. And a brother went off last night screaming because he said, they're killing my babies. And almost broke out in tears because I'm seeing the pain and hurt across the country of our people. And that's why the minister can't stop, won't stop, because he knows what we have to do.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Great report.
Well, we've got Brother Lewis calling us up out of Louisiana.
Assalamu
alaikum, Brother Lewis. And Brother Terrence, we need you to stay on for that next caller too.
I'm still
Brother
on.
Brother Lewis, how are you feeling? Brother Lewis? Okay. I think we have a little technical difficulty. We'll come back to Brother Lewis. Our next caller, Dr. Salam. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, dear Queen Dr. Ava Muhammad, and to our wonderful guest, Brother Eric, and Dr. Ridgely has really been putting out today. And I hear the flight lieutenant has descended. That's so beautiful, brother. About 15 minutes ago, you were seen in California. Beautiful, brother. Beautiful. Flight lieutenant. I want to make a comment on the Saturday's panel. I really enjoyed that. But just briefly on this term insurance, the term insurance is for a stipulated term of years where only the beneficiary being paid the face value of the policy upon death during the term, but nothing being paid upon survival at the completion of the term. So really the insurance company is betting that you're going to live, and you're betting that you're going to die.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So you can get term insurance, but there's it's better to look at what is called term period, and it's a little different.
Yes, sir.
But on Saturday's panel, I have to say I enjoyed all of the speakers. But
now, is that Saturday or Friday? Are you talking about Olive Harvey?
Friday.
Was it Friday or Saturday?
Friday.
I thought it was Friday.
Thursday.
Oh, okay.
That was Friday.
They were talking about education? Yeah.
Yes, sir, Friday.
It was just so beautiful, but the minister's main point is that your education is not a qualitative measure of your ability to be fully productive in a society.
Exactly.
And it was really eating that brother who was at the end of the table.
Yes.
He was just eating him up because he got all them doctorates stacked up on masters and bachelors. And it got to be hurting to hear a brother who, you know, didn't get all of that great education in the Ivy League schools. He was taught by a man with a third grade education, but gave him a true master's degree as being master of his soul. And when he speaks, I mean, people just going to have to understand this is a man that God's hands is on him. So don't get upset with our brother, but the brother got upset because he was talking about the education. He said the education is just not doing you very much good. You're not able to produce anything from that knowledge. So you're still lost even after you graduate. But I thank you for giving me the time to speak. And I, Brother Eric, stay close to Brother Terrence and get registered with him because he might get you on the golden wheel soon. So I'll leave you with that. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And for the callers who may not have gotten it via webcast, Minister Farrakhan participated in a panel discussion at Olive Harvey Community College here in Chicago Friday. My husband and I attended. It was during the day. You know, first of all, the fact that Minister Louis Farrakhan would sit on a panel goes back to your point, Dr. Ridgely, about another human being, the next human.
Yes.
You know, can you imagine the Pope on a panel, President Obama on a panel? He accepted the invitation. He went. He talked to it was in a lecture hall sort of setting. And he was so humble. It was mind-boggling. And he sat there among people who were beautiful, their spirit, it's our people, they're beautiful people, but their whole orientation of the mind is from the slave master. And so the minister had to just cut through the craziness, you know, and he did it in the most beautiful manner. But when, you know, when we're ego-dominated, no matter how it's brought, we can't handle it. And that's what Dr. Salam is alluding to, that one of the professors at the college, he had difficulty handling the minister revealing to the students that what they were receiving in no way, shape, or form was preparing them to do anything for themselves or other black people, period. Okay? And it yet again demonstrates, now here's a man that can call, put out a call and 2 million people respond, but he'll go and talk to 50 people.
Right.
He'll talk to 2 people. He'll talk to 1 person, and it is the same qualitatively.
That's right.
There's nothing different.
And those PhD types, well, they embarrass me because I got one of PhDs with the
PhD.
Me too. Teach
all of us DR period.
Oh my God,
yeah.
It embarrassed me. I said, I hope I ain't like that.
You know, and I think one of the things,
you know, after, you know, when the minister speaks on something, there's really nothing else to say. Okay? And what Dr. Salam's talking about is this brother felt he had to, you know, it was driving my husband crazy. You know, he's like, no, you know. But the need, but in that, the minister's teaching us and everybody else there so many things, because we have been made into utter savages by the enemy.
Right.
You know, and we've got to learn just basic etiquette. He's a demonstration of etiquette.
Yes.
He's legendary just in that.
Yep.
That's right. And Dr. Ava, and you're right as far as one of the things about the minister, he sets an attitude or he sets a tone that when people are sitting down with the minister, their whole position changes, because either they're going to submit and sit and listen, or they feel that they got to overcompensate because they know
right.
that they don't have what it takes, because he has not only the knowledge from God, but he has the heart of the people. And that's why people need to just stop trying to do that, because the minister, he compliments those that have the right heart and the love for the people. They compliment
yeah.
whenever you see two people that are on the panel together, working together instead of fighting, because the people can recognize. They can see that somebody is grandstanding or trying to do that, because the minister doesn't go into the articulation of this and that and that. He gives the basic foundation of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teachings, and that's why he said, you want to beat white supremacy? Well, black excellence. That knocks
that's
it
right.
out the box. And
that's
how do you
right.
do
it
that?
Can't exist.
And so, yeah, so the minister, he makes it plain, so don't worry about that. And that's why the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad never had to worry about him. He didn't even think about them. He went to work and made it happen.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're running low on the clock, so I want to get to Sister Anna at least before we start closing out. Sister Anna, assalamu alaikum.
Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam. I just want to be brief. You know, I don't know if you know it or not, but the minister was supposed to come to Morgan, and the president there is trying to stop him from doing that.
Mm.
So we have a call in and an email in.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do is shut the email down and just call him to death. So
yes,
can I get the number and the email out?
Sure, please. And that's
okay,
Morgan
the
State, Baltimore, listeners.
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, we had a nice radio station here on Saturday. It was just all reggae and maybe you know, just black people all day talking about different things and different segments of the community. And the governor removed all the personnel and put this Jew guy in charge of the station. Where the students were running it, now he runs it. So, you know, it's just been, what everybody just said just applies to Morgan now. So, the email is david.wilson@morgan.edu, and the phone number is 443-885-3022 or 72.
The who is David Wilson?
David
dot Wilson. Is that
Wilson,
all
no,
the
letters?
Ma'am?
Who's David Wilson, he's asking?
He's the new president.
Okay.
Okay.
At Morgan.
So now, did he become president after the minister was invited? I did hear about an invitation a while back.
From what I understand, they wanted him to pay all his money. No, I think he was already there.
There,
he's
okay.
already the president, as
okay.
far as I know.
Okay.
But we're having a problem with that. You know, they want him to pay all this money, and, you know, why should he? he should be able to come.
They want him. They want the minister,
the school,
to pay.
Yeah.
Pay the school.
Yeah.
That's a new one.
Yeah,
and that's what I said. Why should
true.
He? He should be able to come and talk to us for free. We're supposed to have a demonstration tomorrow.
No, he should. He should be. He should receive an honorarium.
Yeah.
You know that. You know, Sarah Palin is making $100,000 speaker fees now. There's an onus too on the black students, the black. Whatever's left of a black faculty, black people, here we go again, is what we're talking about. Pooling resources, unity. The minister should not have to fight to do us a favor.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, and so I love that this is happening. Let me get that number again, 443-885-3022 or 3072. Now, this is the office of the president at Morgan State.
Yes.
And there's an effort to impede Minister Farrakhan from coming there to speak. And I just wanted to just say that again to the listeners so they can go on Twitter and all that and share this information. And the email again is david.wilson, and what's the rest of it?
@morgan.edu.
Okay, david.wilson @morgan.edu. And so you email him and or call and leave a message that how offensive and immoral it is that these barriers are being placed to keep this man, who is a world leader.
That's
see,
right.
What gets me is just by virtue of his stature, he should be talking to students. If you're getting educated, how can you not hear from him? And they call themselves giving you an education. But that's all right, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it. Allah's going to make us separate, because we're going to keep
right.
suffering like this. We're going to keep getting stressed
right.
out like this until
right.
we go for self. But thank you, Sister Anna, so much.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Alaikum.
Thank you. Well, Alaikum. Really, really appreciate that. Yes, yeah, so we have just got, we got to stop. I mean, and I'm very angry over this. And, you know, the minister already spent
right.
the last year and a half paying his own way.
Right.
And so I guess now they're so angry that he did that. Now they're saying, now we're going to charge you for talking to the niggers.
Well, you know, we can't lie nobody on the plantation. That's a lot of niggers. Don't know about niggers. What does let you know what that's why we call it. Those colleges are plant. They're nothing but a plantation producing.
Yeah, that's what they
picking in is to go work for somebody else's plantation. If the job
yeah.
is to train you, give you a briefcase, and shoot you off somewhere into a white hole, and keep you there, and then
that's
dump
right.
you out at retirement in a completely strange neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
So that's why
well,
we need to make a call out for our retirees.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
To come to Detroit.
That's right.
Let's come start over again, because it took you away from us for 40 or 50 years. It took you from our community.
Come back. That's right.
Come
well,
back.
I want to thank the Elevated Places team, Brother Terrence, Dr. Ridgely, Sister LaDonna,
thank you for listening
our
to
brilliant
and participating
IT specialist,
in Elevated
Brother
Places
Bobby,
with Dr.
Corona,
Ava Mahan.
WBON team.
Be
Brother
sure to
Shop,
join us right
Kim,
here every
Valerie.
Thursday
thank
at blogtalkradio.com.
/elevatedplaces. And inshallah,
if you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.